Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, living off with people, a variety talk show whose only mission to the is to empower you.
That were only going to bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. I have a very inspirational guest today. Her name is Inez Rowley, and she has faced many obstacles that could have easily destroyed her spirit. On top of being abandoned by her mom at the age of 10 months, she's managed to survive both, all of physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. Inez was called to ministry in 1990, but she strayed away at the beginning of her training. She returned to ministry and became an ordained minister of the gospel in 1995. Her survival is her ministry. Inez Rowley, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, is the author of All Other Ground, a self-help book, and How to Taste It at the End of the Day, which we're going to get into later in the show. She is currently working on another book due to release this year entitled Covenant. She's a mom, she's a minister, and she's truly an inspirational woman. And welcome, Inez.
Thank you, Yvonne.
I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name right. Is it Rowley?
It's Rowley, yes.
Okay. I wanted to make sure because I can, you know, chop some names up. But where are you at?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
And how's the weather?
The weather is actually seasonal at this point. We still have some snow on the ground, but, you know, it's getting washed away with the warm weather and the sunlight, so we're doing good.
Yeah, I think it was last weekend. I'm in Metro Atlanta, Georgia. We got some of it, I believe, last week. The kids were out of school, so it's really amazing to me how all these places that has never really experienced snow and all the different things that's going on with the weather. I'm really like, wow.
It's time for us to look up now.
Yeah.
Time for us to look up.
It is.
With all of the things that's happening with the earthquakes and the tsunamis and the storms and the extra snow and things like that, we really need to pull in and do some introspection with our lives, because I believe God's coming soon enough and the earth is getting ready for it.
Yeah, I've heard that, and it's scary to a certain extent, but it's also like, okay, it's time for us to get it together.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I want to jump into the questions real quick. You're as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, your mom abandoned you at the age of 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
She was an addict, correct?
Yes.
At what age did you realize, because you were only 10 months at the time, so what age did you realize or was told what happened?
Well, you know, I have this adage that I prescribe to that says that, you know, our mind is so capable of remembering everything that we endure. What happens is we black out the things that are insignificant or the things that we deem insurmountable. And so half of the time, I think we have people sit and we go and say, well, I don't remember. Well, because somewhere in our mind we've said to ourselves, well, it's insignificant or something that we can't get over. So I think I've always known my first memory of it is from, I think I was less than five, and I got a phone call from a woman who said that she was my mom. And she told me that she was coming to get me. And I remember having this little suitcase, and I was sitting outside on the stoop just waiting all day. And she, from what I can remember, she never showed up. But sometime later, I guess between 5 and 10, I was told that she did show up, but the people in whose care I was in at the time prevented her from taking me because they said that she was high when she came to the house.
Were those family members?
No. It was a local babysitter that she had taken me to when I was 10 months old, and that's where I was left. And so the babysitter actually just kept me.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, and we hear it a lot from fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Fathers who walk out of their kids' lives, and we hear the how it has affected, you know, children once they, you know, because their father has left.
Mm-hmm.
But as a young girl growing up, how has this, your mom not being there, how did that impact your childhood?
Well, I spent most of my time, once I really understood what was going on and could rationalize it in my mind, I started blaming myself. And because I was a baby, I was thinking of all the things that babies do that can frustrate or irritate parents. And I would sit in my room, and I would write these little letters to my mom telling her how sorry I was if I cried too much or if I ate too much or if I, you know, had done anything that was too overwhelming for her. And I was, you know, and I was sitting, I would tell her, I won't do it anymore. And, you know, I'm growing up, and with the woman that I called Mama, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to identify with her because she spent a lot of time saying to me that I wasn't hers. And so I would try to sit and say, well, my nose looks like your nose, and we're the same color, and, you know, and trying to fit in somewhere with somebody that was a mother figure for me. And then after that period was over, then I got angry, of course. And that's when I was in high school. And then I said, you know what, I don't care anymore. And then I started looking for my dad because I had did not rationalize in my mind saying, well, my father couldn't have known that she did this, so let me try to find him, and then maybe he'll take me in. And so I spent a lot of time going through the phone book because they gave me the name of my mom and the name of my father because somehow they had got my birth certificate, which wasn't hard, you know, back in the 60s and 70s to get that information.
Right.
And so that information was on my birth certificate. So my childhood was spent searching and trying not to be offending to people so that they would leave me like my mom did.
Wow. How did this affect relationships with other people? I mean, from the teen years until now, how did this, did you suffer from abandonment issues, which I think I just heard you saying?
Yes, I did, and rejection issues. And always wondering when the person was going to leave. I have this one memory of a junior high school teacher, and she kind of took me in because she saw that I was, you know, looking a little neglected in my dress and the way I came to school.
Yeah.
And so she kind of took me in, and it was this one day that she said, you know what, I'm going to come and I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to take you to my house as long as it was okay with Mama, and that's the woman who raised me.
Uh-huh.
And so we went and she talked to her, and everything was fine, but Mama had the knack of saying it was fine for a moment and then snatching it away.
Yeah.
So I remember sitting in the window waiting and panicking almost on the inside, and then, you know, someone saying, well, she's not going to show up. She's not going to show up either. She's not going to show up. And it was, I was almost hyperventilating. And then when I saw her car pull up, I almost couldn't believe the fact that this happened. But I spent a lot of my time, you know, with that saying that waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
And so I spent most of my childhood, and I would dare to say most of my adult life, with that same thing, saying somebody, you know, nobody's going to love me enough if my own mother didn't love me. Nobody's going to love me enough to stay.
Did you find yourself kind of overcompensating?
Yes. To
get them to accept you?
Yes, I did. Like I said, I spent a lot of time doing more than what I saw other people do. Because I said if I just kept doing, if I don't argue, if I don't fuss, if I don't dislike what you're saying, or if I don't disagree or not do what you tell me to do, then you're going to keep me there because I'm not being, so to speak, disagreeable. You understand?
Yeah.
So I spent, you know, with my godmother, I spent a lot, who was a junior high school teacher, I spent a lot of time overcompensating to win her love, so to speak, and then to keep it.
You also, as I mentioned, survived physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. How did this abuse affect your self-image and on top of the abandonment?
Well, I spent a lot of my time thinking I was ugly because one of the first memories of what I looked like was that you didn't have any clothes, you were dirty, and your hair was messy.
Uh-huh.
And so that visual stayed in my mind most of my life. And then when I started developing and my waist got small and my hips got a little bigger and, you know, then I got the unwanted attention from men, I started, you know, downplaying my dress. I started wearing baggy pants, bigger shirts, in an attempt to try, so they didn't see it. So if you don't see what I look like, you know, what my body looks like, then maybe you'll leave me alone. Maybe I could walk past you and you don't do anything or say anything to me. And so I spent a lot of time, a lot of my life saying, okay, I'm ugly. And so if I thought I was ugly, then everybody else would see that I was ugly, and then the abuse wouldn't happen.
So abuse had happened.
Yes.
That caused you to...
I have a very early memory of someone calling me into their room when I was getting up to go to the restroom in the middle of the night. And I have very early memories of mama's family, you know, coming in and doing things and not getting the support when I went and tried to tell. You know, I have early memories of being raped in the bed with mama lying right there and nothing being told, and then me getting in trouble saying that I did something wrong. You know, and like I said, there were moments of sitting and saying, okay, yes, you can have it, and then way at the last minute saying, no, you can't have it. You know, that kind of thing, and having this fear of being, you know, abused or attacked at some point from anybody. I didn't feel safe from anyone in that family.
Yeah, and this is the family that you were left with.
Yes.
How did you? Well, one, did you ever get any type of closure with your mom, your biological mom?
No, because I did, however, find out that my dad was looking for me too. So then my sister, my biological sister, actually found me about 7 years ago. And then that's when I found out that my biological mother had died. So I didn't have an opportunity, you know, to physically sit and tell her, you know what, I forgive you.
Yeah.
But God did get me to a place when I was pregnant with my first daughter, and he told me, you have to forgive her or you won't have anything to give to your children.
Yeah.
And so I had that closure back in 1990.
So how many siblings? Is just you and your sister?
No, that, I actually found out that I am the baby of eight.
Wow.
Yes.
a big family. How did you overcome the abuse and the abandonment?
Well, it was very recently. It was after my divorce, and which I had not realized was going to affect me in the same manner that a lot of the other things affected me in my past.
Uh-huh.
And so I spent a lot of time, you know, after that, just so crazy with fear, and I was sad, and it was just, and I said, you know, and I just had to call out to God, and I said, God, I don't know what to do with this, and I'm going to need some help. And
yeah.
So I spent a lot of time listening to a Fred Hammond song that said, I will find a way to love you more. And it's a song that said, despite everything that I've gone through and despite everything that I've lost, God, you deserve more than what my pain has given to me.
Yeah.
And so I spent a lot of time listening to that, praying and reading my Bible, and then and actually beginning to talk about it was also helpful, because silence is deadly when you have an issue like that.
It is.
And so then I started talking about it, and then releasing things, and then just saying, you know what, God, and God saying to me, Inez, I'm not going to ever leave you, and that's what matters right now. And once I began to believe that, then I was no longer afraid of people walking out of my life.
So you, this became your ministry.
Yes.
When you were initially called to ministry, how did you react to this?
I denounced it because I couldn't believe that God wanted me, as broken as I felt on the inside.
Uh-huh.
And he took me through, you know, looking at how he called the disciples and what kind of people they were,
yeah,
when he called them, you know, and it's a matter of not trying to fix yourself before you come to God, because that'll happen along the way. And so in the beginning, I was filled with so much doubt in myself that had come from the years that I'd had before then. And that's what drove me to say, okay, this is not something that I can't handle this for real, because what do I have? You know,
yeah,
who am I, and who's going to listen to me, and what do I have to say? And so in the beginning, it was really difficult for me to just be strong in it, and it took a lot. It took at least 6 months, 6 to 8 months before I would actually say it out of my mouth. You know, I wrote it down in my Bible so I would have a reference. But it took me to actually say it out of my mouth and actually believe it, that it was true, not that I felt comfortable in it, but that I knew that God had called me. And it took me about 6 to 8 months before I could actually say it and not feel like I wanted to back up from it or take it back.
I think a lot of people, even just going to church, when you feel broken or you feel like you've disappointed God, we see it a lot with, I can't go to church because I'm not, you know, holier than thou.
Right.
Well, I'm not this figure that the church, that I'm not this person,
mm-hmm,
so to speak, that is not going through something. And I think a lot of times we run away from church because we figure, I can't go into God's house with all
right.
these issues.
Right.
So to be called to ministry is like, I can identify with you saying, okay, whoa, you know, because some people run away from going to church.
Exactly.
Let alone, you know, being called to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like it was an added pressure? Because a lot of people put ministry on a certain, as if you're not human,
right,
like you don't go through anything and you don't face challenges anymore because you're a minister.
Right.
So did that kind of play on your psyche a little bit too?
I think it did, but not as much in the beginning, because
uh-huh,
I did enough of that on my own.
Right.
So, but it wasn't until I had to until I had to explain how I knew that I was called to the ministry. You know, when I had to tell my pastor, and when I had to go to, you know, go to the assistant pastor, and I had to sit before a panel of pastors, and it wasn't until then that I was sitting there saying, I'm not really sure that this is something that I can handle, because I looked up to so many of them as I watched their ministries, and I didn't feel anywhere qualified, you know, based on what their experiences were and how I had watched them. And so, yes, I had several moments, and when I had to go for my ordination test, I felt so unworthy and so nervous, and I think from that moment on, I remained cautious and uncertain to the point where when it was time to speak, I would get so nervous, and I would stammer, and my hands would shake, and I would hyperventilate. It was crazy, but I knew that I had a message from God. I knew that at home.
Yeah.
But when it was time to stand up in front of people and actually deliver the message to the people the way that I heard the Lord tell me to give it to them, it became them looking at me, and I spent my whole life trying to be invisible.
Right.
And so then it became them, oh, what do you have to say? Why are you? And this, you know, it was just so much of everything. And then not hearing any feedback from the people that, okay, yes, this was good, or it blessed me. And so then I began to doubt myself, and then I didn't want to speak out anymore.
Yeah. So you're an author. Congratulations on your books.
Thank you.
you have two books. But first, tell me a little bit about All Other Ground.
Yes. All Other Ground was the catapult to get me up out of my depression after I had gotten divorced, and after God had to really deal with all of the other things that I had to go through. And God showed me along the way that I had been putting my faith and trust in people. If I could get you to accept me, then everything was going to be fine with me. But as those little steps, I'll call them, started to crumble, I didn't have anything to stand on, and I felt myself faltering. I was losing my own moral belief system. I didn't believe in myself. I couldn't understand. I was like, okay, what is happening? And God had to say to me, I'm the ground that you're supposed to stand on.
Uh-huh.
And you know that old song, All Other Ground is Sinking Sand?
Yeah.
And that's where the title of that book came from. Because every time I tried to stand on what somebody else was saying to me about how our relationship was and how I was in that relationship, that kind of faltered and shifted upon how they thought about it, how they felt today. And God was saying, no, you stand here with me, and I will fix everything else around you. And so that's where All of the Ground came from. And it's a book about letting go of your past and forgiving yourself and forgiving the people in your past so that you can move on to the future.
I love that. Oh, okay. What inspired you? I know this was something that you had to go through, but what inspired you to share it and write it for other people?
I had an experience, and there was a moment in my life that I call the madness, and that was a period where it was just so terrible, and it was a time that I was losing a lot of things. And there's a passage in the book where it said that the person that I thought I was had died, and I didn't know how to revive her. I didn't know how to get her back. I was some broken pieces.
Yeah.
And God had to carefully put all of those pieces back together very slowly. It wasn't like how, you know, the experience of people say that they're in church, and they say, I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new. You know, I didn't have that experience. It was
very slow,
and it was methodical. It wasn't an instant thing how God had to put me back together. He said, stop wanting that old person back. Want the person that I see. Want her. And that's who you're going to be. And once you can accept that your past is over, then we can move on and I can rebuild you. And during that time, I found myself seeing and hearing a lot of other women going through issues with themselves, with how they felt as moms, how they felt as wives, how they felt as women. And
yeah.
I watched how they were going through. I mean, it was just stuff that they were holding on to, because a lot of us, we come from dysfunction. We've experienced some things in our past that we are ashamed of, that we feel guilty for, and we walk around with that sometimes until we die. And God said to me, you can't let that happen. Your life has to be a beacon to show people that they don't have to stay there, and that they don't have to be ashamed of their past, and that they don't have to feel guilty of the things that they've done or the things that they've allowed to happen to them. And so that's what inspired me to share the book. I had to write it because that's how God ministers to me. That's how I get myself right. I write.
Yeah.
And I've always
yeah.
done that from a child. And so I just started writing, just what, you know, the process and how. And each chapter was a process that God took me through. And it wasn't a short process. And, you know, like some people, I want it to be over right now. Well, you know, you're talking about years of abuse, or you're talking about years of self-neglect, or you're talking about years of resentment and guilt and all these other things. That's not going to happen overnight. You're not even going to
yeah.
remember everything right away, because your mind has deemed it insurmountable. If I think about it, I'm not going to be able to get past it, and I'm going to just end up in the loony bin. And so
yeah.
God said to me, don't let what I've done for you be for naught. It has to go out and it has to minister to other people so that they too can have the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to let go of all these other things that I've been trusting in, and I'm going to trust in what God has for me. And so that's what inspired me to not just write it, but to actually say, okay, let's get it out there to the public.
What do you want readers to walk away with from this particular book, All Other Ground?
I want them to walk away with a sense of self. I want them to say, okay, this is who I am. This is what I've gone through. It does not define who I am going to be in the future. And so as I let go of the things in my past, I can freely grab a hold of things that are ahead, and I can have a hope and some expectation in place of my regret and my dread. And that's what I want people to understand, that your walk is not, it's not commercialized.
Right.
It's very personal. And so just like you were saying earlier about how, you know, we see people in church and we start thinking, well, they're going to expect me to be just like them.
Right.
Our relationship with God is very personal, and it's not, you know, he doesn't treat me like he treats you, because
right.
he knows what you and I both have gone through individually. And so I want them to understand that your walk is not going to look just like somebody else's walk, and your life is not going to look just like somebody else's life, and that's okay.
Right. And don't run from God, run to
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
You have a second book. We have actually a third one coming out, but the second book, How to Taste It at the End of the Day. What is the meaning behind the title?
It is a book about taking your life and appreciating it for what it is. So the old, there's a saying that says, stop and smell the roses.
Uh-huh.
That's my take on that saying. So you get a point in your life and you sit there and say, you know what? What is happening with me? I go and I work all day and I come home and I bring work home and I bring the stress from the street home and I bring the stress of my family to bed and everything like that. But I don't take the time to grab a hold of the good things that's going on in my life. And there's a saying in the Bible that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so if we taste it at the end of the day, we're taking an opportunity to say, you know what, I recognize that I do have some good in my life. No matter what's going on, no matter what has happened, there is something that I can sit and say, God has been good to me right here in my day. And that's what that title is about.
You, All Other Ground is a self-help
yes.
book. And this one, How to Taste It at the End of the Day, is that one, are they both
nonfiction? This is a fiction book.
Okay.
All Other Ground is nonfiction, and How to Taste It at the End of the Day is a Christian fiction book.
Okay. What inspired, and I guess you pretty much answered that when you talked about the meaning of the book, of what inspired you to write it.
Right. Right. It's just a matter of just saying, I want people that, you know, the characters in the book are dealing with some serious issues.
Uh-huh.
But they still have to find a moment to say, I can't stay here. I really need to get some help to get up out of this place that I am in. And, again, it's another, you know, I'm all about, my ministry is about letting people know that there is a brighter side to every dark side. And so what inspired me to write that book was, this is something. This is one of the darkest things, and it deals with death of a loved one. And
uh-huh.
that's a very dark thing to have to deal with. But, you know, but there is always something beneficial out of everything that we endure. And
yeah.
so that's what inspired that book. I want people to understand and grab a hold of the fact that, yeah, my life is a mess right now, but it doesn't have to always be this way.
Yeah. I think that I'm really at a loss for words right now. I think that both books are very powerful books, and I think that it's going to release some things that the readers have been holding on to and having a hard time letting go of, letting it go. And I think, too, that when you're going through it at that moment, you don't really see what you're doing to yourself.
Right.
You don't recognize that you're in that state until
right.
you're almost out of it, or maybe something is said to kind of trigger and make you look at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that so in writing it, and I'm just winging it here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just flowing with it now.
Exactly.
I think, and well, one, was it hard for you to write it? Was it hard for you not just to write it, but for you to put it out?
It was hard. All Other Ground was a hard book. All Other Ground was difficult because at certain points in the book, I was still going through
uh-huh.
some of the stuff. It was hard for me to put out, again, because I was still battling with that self-doubt. Is this really going to help somebody? Is this really going to be beneficial? Am I just, you know, wasting people's time with, you know, with this message that
right.
really I thought for a moment was just for me?
Right.
And so that was a hard book, getting All Other Ground up and actually finished and out of my hand
right.
was more difficult than How to Taste It at the End of the Day, because I had fun with How to Taste It at the End of the Day.
Uh-huh.
So it was, but All Other Ground was the most difficult of the three books, actually,
uh-huh.
To get, actually make myself sit down and make myself go through it and feel it and put it on paper the way that I know that so many other people are feeling it and going through it at the same time, and trying to be as transparent as I could be so that the people wouldn't think, you know, well, she doesn't have any idea what I'm going through because, you know, she hasn't really been through anything. And to be able to put it down and put down my hurt and my pain for other
right.
people to view, yes, that book was difficult.
For those who are going through what word of encouragement would you want to leave them with on how to or learning to let go?
Patience. Be patient with yourself and allow yourself to feel what you feel. Call it what it is so that you can get past that moment. A lot of times when we have been through something and other people know that we have been through it, they oftentimes rush the process because they haven't really had to deal with something, or if they did, they swept it under the rug and walked past it and figured that they had gotten over it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times we feel rushed to be right, rushed to feel good, rushed into something. And the same way if we were to break our leg, we would need that time in a cast for our leg to set and to heal. And oftentimes when we are hurting in our spirits and in our soul, we don't give ourselves the time for God to set that soul right, to set our spirits right. And we walk around handicapped spiritually.
Uh-huh.
So what I would say to everyone out there who is going through and really know that they need to get over some things, be patient with yourself and don't allow somebody else's timetable to dictate when you're supposed to be over something. And don't dally in it when you know it's time to let it go.
Yeah.
You know, because we can do that too. You know, so when we get to the place of sitting there saying, okay, this is my truth, I am really sad today, and we can say that and call it sadness. Be sad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then say, and then, but we have to ask God, God, help me. I'm sad today, and I need for you to show me something or to deal with me right here today in this sadness so that, you know, I can get past it and go on and deal with whatever has to come tomorrow. So we look for it. Yes, I'm sad today. I know God has a solution, and accept the solution in the timetable that God gives it to us.
I like that. And I think, too, a lot of people, and I've been there, too, think because you're hurting at that moment or you're having human feelings, that's a sign of weakness. And that's the sign that, oh my God, something is wrong with me because I can't, you know, yesterday I was a little stronger and today I'm weak. Or,
right.
You know, when they're going through different things, they assume that, you know, there's something wrong. And I like that you said, be patient with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about acceptance, too, that, okay, yeah, I'm in pain today. I'm hurting
right.
today, but and you can't get through it by yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So I really, I'm really looking forward to get to both of the books, but also if you can tell us a little bit about Covenant. It's not out yet, right?
Right. It's not out yet.
And the other two are.
Yes. All of the Ground and How to Taste It at the End of the Day are both available on Amazon.com. And Covenant is coming out later this year.
Okay.
And Covenant is a book about relationships and how, you know, a lot of times we get to the point where we think that there's always dysfunction within a relationship.
Uh-huh.
And that's not always true. We can have a solid, wonderful, beautiful relationship, and it'd be okay. And a lot of people, you know, they sit and say, well, you know, you hear this saying all the time about when you get married, oh, that fire is going to fade. And
yeah.
That's not always true. Covenant is about those relationships that last and that endure through hardships, through difficulties, and through, you know, things that everybody deal with. That because the world has made everything so easy to just chalk stuff off, I can throw this away, I can throw that away, I'll throw this relationship away, I'll throw this marriage away.
Uh-huh.
And Covenant is about saying, no, we're going to stick through it because I've promised that I'm going to stay with you.
Yeah.
And I promise that I'm gonna love you, and love never fails, and love always believes a good thing. So covenant is about all relationships. It's a family, so we have familial relationships. There are marriages. There are friendships. And so in all of those relationships, and there are different dynamics that are going on, and people are dealing with real issues, but they're dealing with it, making the decision to stay with it. And that's what covenant is about. And it's also it's a fiction book as well.
Okay, and it'll also be available on Amazon.
Yes.
And where else can they go to get the books?
They can go to my website and click on the books tab, and they can purchase the books from there as well.
Okay, so your website also is where they can go to find out what events or book signings you have coming up or anything like that.
Yes. And then the press releases are there. I have newsletters that I come out with once a month just to encourage people to keep on keeping on no matter what's happening with you. And there's also a blog section where we can actually talk back and forth with one another.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where, give that website?
It's www.iamsproperty.biz, and that's iamsproperty.biz. And it will also, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
When you click on the books tab, the other means of getting the book is also listed. It's scrolled across the top of the page. So like BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com, all of those places you'll be able to also purchase the book, but you can see that on the website as well.
Okay. I normally don't take callers, Inez, but someone's calling in, and I'm going to grab it real quick.
Okay.
Caller?
Hello?
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 Hello, you're on air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm all right. Inez, this is Tina. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm all right. One thing I have to say is that you have shown a lot of people that times might be hard, and you might go through your trial and tribulation, but at the same time, you overcome all of those trial and tribulations with the people that God put into your life. And one thing I have to say with you is it was a reason for you to have came into my life, because you brighten up my day every day, each text we deal with, each time that we send each other emails. And it's a blessing to know that it is something else out there besides going to a job that's not even worth going to, dealing with things how we have to deal with. Because at one point in my life, I actually thought that if I left this job that I was at, it's just over. But like you say, he does things for a reason, because he's going to close one door, and he will always open another. And I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you.
I am really proud of you to actually hear the things that you are doing, to see the things that you overcame. It's just amazing to me. So I know there is a God. That's one. And I know that it's going to be okay after one door has actually closed, because you just shown it.
Mm-hmm.
You have actually shown it. And I just wanted to tell you how proud I am of you.
Tina, thank you so much. Girl, you're making me cry.
Wow.
Okay. Make me cry, Tina.
Oh, my God, I am. And it's just amazing, because at one point you think, it's a lot of people out here that do not believe there is God. But if you sit down and listen to your two conversations, Miss, how do you pronounce your last name, Perry?
Pierre.
Pierre, Miss Pierre. You and Inez and your comments, I listen to, I'm still listening to it. And it's just amazing that people do not realize that if you just sit down, like she said, and be patient, he will open so many doors. He will show you so many things. And, I mean, and he has shown me several times over. And the only thing I do is sit down and be patient, because he says that it don't come when you want it to come.
Come when he needs
it. It comes when he needed to come. Because if we didn't have trial and tribulation, we would not be able to say thank you, God. We would not be able to say thank you, Jesus. We would not be able to get on our knees and praise him without those.
Yeah.
And I'm just so, oh, my God. Girl, I am really proud. You thought I wasn't going to listen to you. I'm really proud of you. I am so proud of you. I am clapping my hands to you because of everything that you have achieved. Don't ever, never let nobody tell you what you can't do, because you just proved it several times over. And now that you have done it, now is my turn.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's my turn, because, I mean, you are just amazing. Oh, my God, she's amazing. Girl, she's amazing.
Yeah, and that's what we're all habitats for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here for ourselves.
Right.
We're here to teach to be a ministry, whether we're ministers or not. Our life is somebody paying attention to what we're going through and what we're surviving. So, you know, her touching you, you're gonna touch somebody else too.
Oh, I'm already touching, because
what
it is, I actually have a thing with children, and it's where each individual child that comes across me, they give me my respect, but at the same time, they always call me mom. And my daughter's boyfriend, he's been through a lot. He's been through a heck of a lot.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I had to let him know where the respect lies at. You might be dealing with my daughter, but you still going to respect her and respect me also. And that means it comes with a lot of things when you're dealing in a relationship with somebody. And that's where it starts. Because if he's been through so much that, I mean, I just can't even describe. Because, see, I take all y'all time. I may as know how I am.
Yeah.
You know, once I start, it's hard for me to stop. But this is exactly why it is called trial and tribulations, because you will be able to stand up and give your testimony. That way another person will know it's okay regardless of what they're going through. You have to have that faith. You have to actually give him that, letting him know that, okay, yeah, I know you have me. You have me. He has a tight hold on me right now. He has a tight hold. Yes, I'm going through something, but 9 years ago, it was in this same spot. I was literally in this same spot, and I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't have no idea what I was going to do. But now I'm here again, and my mind is just so clear.
Yeah.
It is really clear. It's clear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's clear. But, God, because he can do it. And
yes,
see, I am really, girl, I can't stop saying this. I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. And I am not about to take over. I just wanted to call and tell her. Huh? Exactly.
Thank you.
Oh, my God, you are so welcome. But Inez, I will text you later. But I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you, and God bless you, honey.
God bless you, Tina. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Miss Inez?
Yes.
Okay. that was good.
That's amazing. And that was somebody that I actually worked with.
Oh, okay. Okay. I want to mention one more time the title of the books
mm-hmm.
and the website. We're wrapping up.
Yep.
It's All Other Ground.
Yeah.
And How to Taste It at the End of the Day.
Yes.
And by Inez
Riley.
Correct.
Correct.
And give that website one more time.
It is www.iamsproperty.biz, B-I-Z, and that's IAMS Property.
And they can also find you on Facebook and
yes, they can.
Facebook as well.
Yes, they can.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Yvonne. I really appreciate that.
And I wish you much success. And I know your books are going to touch many lives. And I want to say continue on your continue to let God use you, which I know I don't have to say. You're going to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But but thank you so much. And it was an absolute pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you. I had a good time myself, actually. I shared some stuff that I hadn't necessarily shared in a public forum before. So that's good. Now there's no turning back now.
Well, thank you, ma'am. And you have
thank
a
you.
Wonderful day.
You as well.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.